Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined by my buddy John this week. How you doing, John? It's me and you solo this week, John. How you doing,
buddy? I'm good. We got all the beer in the pub this week. So, no Bob, no Dennis.
That's why I scheduled the show this morning, so we can't drink too much. I don't want to let you loose. I don't want you taking care of their shares. I want to keep you straight, but Dennis informed me a little late that he's feeling a little under the weather today, so he said it's just you and John. So feel better, Dan, and we'll catch you on the next episode, buddy.
Yeah, sure. Hope you feel better soon.
He will. He's ornery. He's too ornery not to.
Yeah.
So how you been? How's your week going so far, Johnny?
I had a good day. Went out to had to go into Orlando yesterday to do a little bit of part-time work in the morning with my son, and finished early and stopped by Animal Kingdom before heading home. So, good times.
Yeah, so. I know. I'm out. I'm having a good time. I'm out with my beautiful wife. We're at the Bonefish Grill having a nice lunch. Thinking I'm having a great day, then you have to text me saying you're having a better one. You're always showing off, John. You're always trying to ruin it for all the rest of us.
And it was one of those things, you know. I had to head into Orlando anyway, and since we're there, it's hard to drive home past Disney without trying to talk yourself out of not stopping. So I couldn't help it, and we had to stop. So it's just the way it is.
I can only imagine. When I finally move there, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Especially on days where I get done early or something like that. It'll be so hard, like you said, just not to pop in, just to – it ain't even about a ride, just to maybe pop into one of the stores or grab a drink somewhere and just chill. I mean, it'll be hard. And did you go to Animal Kingdom alone, or did your son go with you yesterday?
Yeah, my son went with me.
So that was fun. Did you hop on a bunch of rides, or?
We did. Actually, I looked at touring plans before we headed over there, and it was a 4 out of 10, or so it said. And we got there, and Kilimanjaro Safaris was 70 minutes, and Expedition Everest was, I think, 85 when we got there. So we saw the Flights of Wonder show, and then I had purposely earlier in the day made a couple of Fast Pass reservations. So we had one for Kilimanjaro Safari, so we got on that, and then ended up – I mean, it's like at 3 o'clock, everybody decides that Animal Kingdom's closed, and they start leaving, so – the line at Expedition Everest went down from like 85 minutes to 35 in about, you know, half an hour. So we jumped on that before we left. So,
and it's crazy. Everybody still tours that park. They get there bright and early and they're out of there. Or maybe it's starting to be, John, where the midday is going to be like some of the other parks, being it's open a little later. Like me and Brenda, our touring plans, we head back during the midday, take a shower, hop in the pool, do whatever, and then come back. With it being open later, maybe that midday time's the time to get on the rides, hit the park in the middle of the day.
You know, I think how I would tour now, if like when we have a full park day out here, I think what we're going to do is get there about 1 o'clock and then see the shows, because you don't care about the crowd so much when you're just watching the shows. You know, you can see Flights of Wonder, you can see
Lion King.
Lion King, the Finding Nemo show, the Tough to Be a Bug, all of those without, you know, you're going to see probably the one that you're trying to see. You know, if you show up 10, 15 minutes early, you're probably going to get into that show, do that until about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then you'd be able to ride Expedition Everest, Kilimanjaro Safaris, and Dinosaur probably with less than a half hour wait. So I think that's our plan for the next time we head out. So
now, the last time we were there late afternoon, and we did the same thing. I mean, I had some fast passes because we planned a little bit early for Jimmy and Mark and all, for us to do Everest and everything. But we got to go right. They got to go right back on Everest. They didn't even have to wait. I mean, like you said, it was a 35-minute wait, and usually a 35-minute wait at Disney means 15.
Yeah, that's what I was telling my son. He was, he's kind of, I don't really want to wait that long in line. It's not going to be 35 minutes. It's going to be at the most 20, and I think it was about 15 or 20 minutes. And it looked a lot longer than it really was. So, and that queue, you know, like we've talked about, is so interesting, and there's so much stuff to look at that you don't get bored in that queue anyway. So,
well, you know, I like the queue better than the ride.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. So,
now, did you hop on? Did you get to go on Dinosaur or no?
No, we looked at it. We grabbed some lunch when we first got there over at the. My son's 17, so cheeseburgers is what he lives on. So we ate lunch over at the. The fast food restaurant or fast food quick service spot over there in Dino Land.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then we looked at Dinosaur when we got off of that, and that was 65, 70 minutes or something. And I couldn't talk him into waiting that long for Dinosaur. Even though he's 17, that ride scared him when he was like 6. So he's still not a giant fan of it. So.
Well, my godson, we did this. I told the story on the show before. He was like 7 or 8, whatever he was. And we took him on, and he was screaming and yelling on it and blah, blah, blah. Then he gets off, and he's walking all tough, acting like, let's do it again. Because we were all saying, let's do it again, because it was in February. And it was one of those days where it was like 50 degrees out. We woke up with frost on the car. The park was empty. I mean, literally, we could have did Dinosaur like 10 times in a row and not wait. It would have been longer on the ride than the wait was to get back on it. So he started talking all this junk. So me and his aunt Brenda drug him right back on again. And then he gets on the ride. He starts tearing up. And Brenda's like, we should get him off. He's like, nope. He's becoming a man today. He's going to do it again. He ain't going to talk smack and then hop off. So we let him ride again. And then after he did it, he started to act big again when he got off. And then he realized, whoa, I might have to do that again. His Uncle Doug is nuts. He'll drag me on again. But, nah, he still likes it. But the last trip we were down, it was closed. Remember, I got bummed out. I didn't get to go on it. It was down for a refurb.
I've heard you say that's one of your favorite rides out there. So, yeah, it was a shame that you couldn't get on it. I like it. I mean, it's a rough ride, though. I mean, I feel like, you know, you've been through a washing machine by the time you get off of it. But
I call it busting a Bronco. It's like you're busting a dinosaur. I mean, the yeehaw. And I'll tell you what, it is starting to get – I'm starting to get a little too old for it. But I still can't resist it. It's like, know how you do Space Mountain still? I have to do Dinosaurs. No matter how bad it hurts, I still have to do it because it's one of my – it's always in my top five usually of favorite rides in all the parks. Now, I seen you showing me beers yesterday. What beers did you have around the park?
Let's see. I had a Congaloosh Excursion Spiced Ale from the Rivers – I think something Rivers Bar outside of Expedition Everest right there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a couple of different beers, and then I had a Kingfisher in Asia before we left. So,
what'd you like better?
The Congaloosh Spiced Ale is much better. I mean, the Kingfisher is okay, but it's basically a kind of an Asian version of a Bud Light, or, you know, it's pretty light.
It's pretty good beer then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, it's okay.
I've had a couple of them. They're pretty good. I mean, again, that's not my favorite, but it is decent. It's drinkable. I was thinking of you the other night. I stopped at my buddy's house. He hands me a Samuel Adams, and it was very good. When you were asking me, do you like Sam Adams? I said, yeah. There was something wrong with that beer, dude, because I've had another Lafite, and it was fine.
Yeah, the more you're talking about it now, I think maybe there's, and that's odd that, you know, because as many beers as I've had at Disney, and God, we really don't want to speculate on how many that is. I've never had a bad draft. So it's, if you would have known, like if you'd know now, you know, what that beer is supposed to taste like, if you went back and had the same one, you'd have to complain. I mean, you'd have to go tell them that, hey, there's something wrong with this keg. So, you know.
Yeah, there was something up, and I hate to keep dragging it on and on and on because I did have a couple more, and I did enjoy them. It's a one-and-done kind of beer for me because I'm not going to drink multiples because you won't land up good the next day.
No.
I liked our buddy Bob. He sent us a picture out the other day with a Le Fin de Mine glass, and he was having a Peroni in it. I think the best of both worlds. So, but no, when I was drinking the Sam Adams, I'm like, see, I knew there was something, cause I'm a beer drinker. That's, I am. And I know you guys, Pat and you and Bob and everybody's picking on me cause what I drink, but I've tried everything. I'm a beer drinker. It ain't like I'm a sissy boy where I drink nothing but Coors Light. And I know Brian from Peas and Carrots picked on me and stuff like that. But you know, during the week after dinner, you know, I don't want to be drinking hard beers every night and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just nice to have the flavor of a beer with dinner. I don't drink to get rocked in a lot of senses, and I don't want to drink Le Fin de Mine every night or a heavy beer. Because there's certain beers that do lay heavy on you.
There's some stouts and definitely the Le Fin de Mine and stuff like that. I mean, even me, as much as I love that one, and really, I mean, Doug, you have to realize that part of the reason I love that one so much is because I only usually get that at Epcot in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so when I get that flavor, I know where I'm at, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's my symbol for being, oh man, I'm at Epcot. It's time to relax and just have a good, nice day, you know. So, I mean, that's part of why I enjoy it so much. I think last time I bought a four pack to have at the house was probably 6-7 months ago. So it's not something I keep in the house. So.
No, and it's like, and I know they were picking on me because I always joke around because, like, when they're doing their live Periscopes and stuff, Peas, Carmen and Brian, I joke with him all the time. He's going, Brian's going to get a beer. I say, is he getting the Coors Light? And Carmen, no, Doug, he's not. And I think it's a funny running joke, but I really like to try everything. I'm the same way with the food as I am with the beer. There's certain things I don't like, but it isn't because I won't try it. And I will give a place a second chance. We've talked about this on the show before.
So, yeah, you gave the beer a second chance. So
yeah, I'm glad I did.
Kudos to you. So.
Yeah. And I know everybody probably thinks that, like, some people were joking around saying that I did it because I was tired of getting picked on. Believe me. No, I actually enjoyed being on the other side of the fence. But I'm going to be honest. Regardless of what my opinion is, if I don't like it, I stuck with not liking it for a month, didn't I? Do you think do you think I would have cared? I actually enjoyed the jokes. I like picking on you. I have to find something else to get now to get you now. So, yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like what guys do. There's something fun about breaking each other's stones. And now I got to find something else. Maybe we'll find something on Bob this time.
Well, I don't know. There's so many things you can pick on me about that. I mean, let's start with my gray hair. So,
well, we all have that. So yeah. I seen you were on the, when you went on the Kilimanjaro Safari, you tweeted out pictures of the baby elephant.
Oh yeah, we were on that, and it came around one corner, and there was the giraffe and a baby giraffe, and about half of the car went, oh, you know, and it's so cute. And it was got around the other corner, and then you see the giraffe or the elephants, and then there at the bottom is Stella, the new baby elephant, and everybody in the car, you couldn't help it. It was actually probably the cutest thing I've ever seen out there. The way that her mother and her big sister were chasing her and teasing her and just kind of like slapping her with their trunks, you know, it just looked like, it was so natural and so just almost a human you know, reaction to
such a
how
family
they treat
atmosphere.
Their children. Absolutely, it was. Oh God, it was just adorable. It really was. Oh
yeah,
God, I sound silly, but it was.
Yeah, you made my wife's day because she loves elephants. That's her, you know, her favorite animal besides our dog, you know, domesticated. But she loves elephants. I mean, when we're there going to the safari, that's what she looks forward to seeing. And you got her big time yesterday when they showed that pic. She kept expanding it on the phone to look at him. Oh, my God, how cute, how cute, how cute. And he really was. It was nice to see. It's nice when to see how Disney keeps them free like that. They seem like they're happy. You know what I mean? Like, I've been to zoos before, and I don't know. It's just me judging. But does the animals look happy in a lot, like certain zoos you've been? And you know what I'm talking about. Like our local one, Philadelphia here. I go there, I feel sorry for them every time I'm there. I never feel sorry for the animals at the Animal Kingdom.
Oh, no. We have a local zoo that we used to do field trips to here in Orlando, the Sanford Zoo. And they had a tiger in there. And I just remember looking at him, and the poor animal was in a cage about the size of, you know, one of our bedrooms, you know, and just pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know. So, yeah, you feel horrible for some of them. But I would say for the most part, including Animal Kingdom, Busch Gardens, and some of the other zoos, you know, they really have done – in the last 20 years, they've done a fantastic job of making most of the animal habitat so much more – realistic and at the same time still making it available for you to view the animal. You know, I mean, sometimes they do it so realistic that the animal goes and hides and you can't even see them. But yeah, the Kilimanjaro Safaris does a great job of bringing them up where you can see them, but still giving that natural habitat feel. So
no, it makes me happy when I see them down there. I know they're being treated well and all. Like, and to be all fair, I haven't been to the Philadelphia Zoo in a long time, so I don't want to pick on them. I don't know how they change it or whatever, but it's basically a zoo in Center City. It's like a concrete jungle is what I remember it as a kid. And because of all concrete, in the summertime we would go, and it would be smoking hot because there's no foliage, no real trees or anything. The lions and the tigers and stuff were in glass. They were in, like, that 3-inch glass cage, you know what I'm saying, where you can see. I'm like the same thing as you, John. Like, really? And we have another one that's the Cape May Zoo. It's down towards the shore, and that's more in the woods. So I don't feel as bad for them. And a lot of the areas have, like, these bridges and areas you can walk over and see them. And it's kind of set up a little bit like the Animal Kingdom, but not as big. Like, you know, they didn't have the land that the Animal Kingdom has. And I just don't feel sad anytime I'm in the Animal Kingdom for any of the animals. I feel like, man, if all your other buddies knew about this place, you guys would be in trouble.
Yeah, it's just a gorgeous environment. I mean, and I like Busch Gardens too. They do a good job. But yeah, Kilimanjaro Safaris and all of Animal Kingdom is just above and beyond what you usually see at any other zoological park. So.
Now, was there any action going on around Rivers of Light? Did you ask that? Because I ask the cast members every time I'm there just to see if they know anything.
I didn't ask anybody, but there was gobs of people sitting in the auditorium. I don't know what they were doing, but there were quite a few people just hanging out in there, I guess, you know, just a convenient spot to sit and chill and relax. It was actually a beautiful day yesterday. It was about 82 and breezy, so it was a gorgeous day to be out there. And usually, I mean, every time I'm out there with my son, it's about 98 degrees and 100% humidity. So it was actually nice to be out there on a nice day. So
yeah, now why didn't you send me a picture of my eagle?
I tried, and I didn't get my phone out in time. So.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. But tell me, as many times as you've seen that, doesn't that eagle make you proud to be an American?
He's so noble, and he's almost like he's looking down, imperious, you know. He's like looking down his nose at you. I mean, all the other birds flew out and stuff like that, and I nudged my son, and I said, look, he doesn't even fly. he rides out.
I'm not wasting my time. Look at me. I'm the boss. I'm Joe Cool. I'm the man. He looks like, you know, I'm the boss. He's the head bird in charge. You know what I mean? He's not taking any crap. But, you know, he just makes you – I want to stand up and salute that eagle every time I see him.
Yeah, he's a – pretty bird. Most of the all those birds are. So I mean, that you look at some of the birds we have in our backyard, and you know they're missing feathers and stuff like that just from living out in the wild. But all those birds are so well taken care of and groomed so perfectly, you know.
I got some serious pictures on the last trip of the snow owl, the eagle, and all from what
was
I stayed after everybody left and went up to the stage and was talking to the trainers and stuff like that. Because, you know, everybody who listens to this show knows what a geek I am for that. I have to see that show every trip for the most part. And just seeing them birds up close is amazing. To show you and how people hurt, like my brother, he hunts and he drives me nuts. And I don't want to get on anybody that hunts or pick on them or whatever, but I just don't have it in me to hurt an animal, if you follow me. It isn't me. And when you see something like that up close, how do you do anything to them?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I feel the same about you generally as hunting. I can't do it, but I have no problem fishing. So I love to fish. I don't know. There's something. Fish aren't cute to me, so I don't mind fish.
Hey, now all the Nemo and Dory fans are going to write to John Peters or go on to Twitter at John Peters or beers at Beer Solo. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, you can find them at Beer Solo and yell at them. I don't know. Did you do anything else there yesterday? I was going to call you about, I'm sorry, real quick, and have you pick me up some Flame Tree barbecue sauce because I used all mine.
Yeah, I wish you would have texted me or something because I certainly would have ran in there and got you some and got it in the mail for you. But, yeah, I think me and my wife are planning to go out there. You know, we went out there with just my son yesterday without her. So she, of course, is getting the guilt trip now. So
she never wants to go there. As soon as you attempt to go there, she wants to go back to Epcot.
You're back to Epcot, yes, that's the thing. So, but no, she wants to go, and I still have that. I told you guys about the tour guide book that I ended up getting, the animal spotting guide thing. And I want to take that out there and actually check stuff off and everything. So yeah, we're probably going to go out there in a couple of weeks. So if you want me to pick it up for you, then I will.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll let you know because I don't want to put you through the burden, so I'm going to try to call there and call the store and see if they'll ship it for me if I pay for it by my, you know, the card and order it and get it shipped. If not, I will get you to do it, and I will send them the money down beforehand. But anyway, we did I grilled the chicken, and then I took the chicken apart, and what I did is I grilled it to get some flavor in it, and then I finished it off on the stove, and then I shredded it apart. And while I was cooking the chicken, I put the Flame Tree barbecue sauce in. Then I added a little bit of the Flame Tree rub into the sauce. I heated that up in the pan, in the skillet, and then I shredded the chicken apart and put the shredded chicken into the barbecue sauce. And then I had fresh rolls, and we made these barbecue chicken sandwiches, John, and I made homemade potato wedges.
That sounds pretty tasty there.
Yeah, homemade potato wedges with Parmesan and garlic. I made this Parmesan and garlic, a little bit of olive oil. You put them in the bag, and then you shake them. And then the Parmesan, the garlic, the olive oil, everything sticks to them, and then you bake them in the oven for 25 minutes. Dude, we ate good. And that barbecue sauce with that shredded chicken. And the good thing of it is it's not that bad for you. The sauce itself, the reason I want to get it is because it isn't really high on sugar and calories, and it tastes so good. I know you like Flame Tree barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like barbecue. So, yeah, Flame Tree is always a great spot to grab a meal. So,
have you ever done that with your barbecue?
We do pulled pork a lot. So, yeah, I don't think I've ever bought the Flame Tree barbecue sauce. I think I might have, now that you've mentioned it, maybe I'll have to grab us a bottle next time we're out there. So
absolutely, because I've gotten two meals out of it. The one time I just, you know, cooked the chicken, glazed it on top on the grill with the rub on the chicken and the glaze of barbecue sauce on it. But this time I used the last three quarters of the bottle and put it in the pan. And we had three huge breasts that I ripped apart. We got two nights of sandwiches out of this, and it was so good. I suggest you try that. Cook the chicken and then just totally tear it apart, John. You could even probably do it better is – what would even be better is because that's how I finished it off. I started to grill it, and then I decided to toss it, and I poached it. Have you ever poached your chicken before?
No, usually I'm grilling it.
Okay, well, when you do it this way because it makes it more tender, poach it in the pan with boiling water and poach it to degrees, and then you take it out and you shred that apart into the sauce. John, I'm telling you, the chicken melts in your mouth because you don't get that. You don't want it to be, when you're eating a sandwich like that, you don't want it to be too crispy. You want it to be chewable. And tell you what, dude, try that and you'll be thanking me. You won't be yelling at me like I was yelling at you for a certain beer, I'm promising you.
All right. Sounds good.
So any other highlights before we get into the news?
Let me think. We ended up doing Expedition Everest, did the Kilimanjaro safaris. No, I think that's about it. I sent you the virtual fried wontons and mango pie for you. Did you get it? So.
Yes, I did, and that broke my heart. I wish you'd leave. Have you tried them yet, them wontons?
No, like I said, I was there with my son yesterday. That's not a place that he's interested in going into. So, but when we get out there with my wife, I'll try to talk her into head. At least just let me run into it. Maybe, I could probably get them right up there at the bar. So
yeah, they would let you over there. At the bar.
Get a beer and order the fried wonton. So.
You'd really like that, I'm telling you. I knew you wouldn't do it yesterday with the sun. But I want you to go back and have the bangers and mash first. But I do want to see you try the fried wontons. So that's your job when you're down there with your 75 trips that you do.
I'll do my best.
So did you see the new Flights of Wonder to get into the news? Did you see the new look at a Flights of Wonder balloon?
Yeah. Actually, we noticed that, I think it was last week or the week before, whenever we were out that way. Yeah, you could, as you approached Epcot, you could see it up over. Because there's a couple of spots in Epcot you can actually see it up. When we saw it up that time, you could tell it was a different. And I'm surprised they were able to switch that out that quick, but I guess it's not that big of a deal. But you would think it would be more longer.
I think what ended up happening is, and this is just me, and I know nothing about balloons. I just know about construction and changing things out and like auditoriums and stuff like that. They probably had that whole balloon ordered. They probably had the balloon itself, because the new blue does go so much better with the springs than what the old balloon does. So I know that's why they did it, because it has the springs colors. It looks more like the springs now. Don't you think the blue fits better with the springs than it?
Yeah. The other one kind of clashed and was kind of bright and stuff. Yes. And so this one blends in, or it just looks a lot more. It fits in a lot better. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the characters are gone, but I think it looks more elegant, and it goes more with what the whole look is, the whole design of the Disney Springs. So, but what I think they had, John, is I think that whole balloon was just ordered and brought in. I don't think they switched it out. I think they switched everything out. Basket and all. I think they just ordered a balloon and brought it over.
Okay, so just basically trundled it in on the truck and swapped out the whole mechanism. So.
That's what I would think, because, you got all these lines and everything hooking to the balloon. I don't really see them. It's one of those deals where it's just easy to get a new one than it is to rebuild the old one.
Yeah, because on that one, they actually have a giant, the closest thing I could say would be like a cargo net all the way across the top of it and stuff. So, it would seem like an immense amount of work to just switch out the balloon itself. So, yeah, you're probably right. Probably had the basket and everything attached to a new one. They just switched out the whole mechanism. So.
Yeah, they probably had it ordered when it was ready. We're all done. It's built. It's ready to come to the springs. And then they just had to shut down for a couple weeks. So... And did you see that the new act? Let me pronounce this right before everybody picks on me. The Boston Butcher's not here today, so everybody's calling me the New Jersey Butcher after that menu deal. But that's the fun part of it. And I know we mispronunciate a lot of words, but do you want us to take 15 takes? There's 75 podcasts out there that retake and do everything and make everything beautiful and perfect. We're just knuckleheads sitting at the bar. We talk the way we talk. What do you want us to do about it? I think it's the beauty of our show. We show our flaws, and there's many of them.
Yeah, maybe pronunciation is one of them. So
it's
no
pretty much it is. We cannot speak up here in New Jersey and Boston. We do our best, but it's not good. We're never going to claim to be poetic the way we speak. But did you see there's a new band called Matat? Well, let me see. Matt Buca Groove is now playing at Epcot Moroccan Pavilion in World Showcase. Matt Buca, are you going to go see them?
Along with a lot of that stuff at Epcot, we walk by and you'll hear it in the background, and that's about it. So unless it's off kilter, you know, back in Canada, which isn't going to happen, I don't think we're really stopping, you know, listen to a whole set of any of those. I think the most I did lately was I listened to almost the entire set of the live music in the UK pavilion.
I still call them the British Invasion. They'll always be. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
They just play different songs. They sound, the new one, I would know it. I just can't think of it off the top of my head right now. But I know what you're saying. To me, it'll always be the British Invasion back there. Because the new group sounds just like them to me, don't they, pretty much?
Yeah, I think they sing a little more variety, because I thought the British Invasion stuck pretty much to the Beatles, didn't they?
Yeah, but the last few times we've been down there has been basically all any of the groups from Britain is what we've liked. So, I don't know. I enjoy going back there, and I don't blame you. I hang out on Tudor Lane every time they're playing. So, they're the last group that I actually do go out of my way to see. Even though, like I told you guys, the last Canadian group that had the Shania Twain, when they were singing all the Shania, me and my wife like Shania Twain, and I thought they were very good. So, but they're no off-kilter. But Matt Buca Groove is now playing at the Epcot Moroccan Pavilion and World Showcase. The high energy group plays North African and Moroccan percussion with Arabic and Mediterranean melodies mixed with Latin rhymes. Say that five times fast, John.
Woo.
Matt Buca Groove appears Wednesdays through Sunday with show times at 1:20 p.m., 2:20, 3:45, 4:45, 5:45, 6:30, and the last showing is 7:45 p.m. I mean, I check them out. Like you said, John, if we're walking by, I'm in. You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, we say all the time, and nothing else, it just adds to the cultural ambiance of being at Epcot. So.
Absolutely. And did you see, John, speaking of, I'll go to the next music news because you just brought off kilter. It's the last name, the last day at Bo. Here we go again. They need to come up with Smith, John, Harry, James, Davis, Johnson. But no, Bada Hacken. It's Bada Hackathon perform at Epcot Canadian Pavilion. They came back, and I mean, they're switching out bands in Canada. Like, you know, we switch out laundry. I mean,
yeah, that's what it seems like. Ever since they got rid of Off Kilter, they got somebody different just about every month, every 2 months.
Yeah, they played for 20 days back in October, and they just returned through January 22nd. Today's going to be their last day there. They played just 1 week. So if you guys want to go out and see them today, they're there all day. They have five performances, but I mean, I don't know why they just came in for a week.
It's a little odd, unless it's just a filler and maybe they've got a brand new, really good stage show coming next week or something. So.
I mean, and all these bands the bands have been good. I haven't been disappointed with any of the bands that have been there since. I mean, I like Off Kilter better, but all the bands have been fine. Just as long as they stay the heck away with the Lumberjacks, I'm fine. And
just
don't
stay away from
that.
Chainsaws.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, of all the things that Disney has done and over the years, that's one thing I never understood what made them honestly think that a chainsaw would work in the park. And if you listen to the episode when it came out, I tried to give them the benefit of the doubt because I just couldn't wrap my head around it. So I said, maybe there's something I am missing here. And when we seen it, I was like, I am missing nothing. This is horrible. Like, who wants to be standing at World Showcase, drinking a Lafindamont, maybe with a pretzel or something in your hand, just relaxing with your bride, and the chainsaws come out? I mean, who thought that would be fun?
I just don't get it. And you know what? I've wondered before. I mean, Epcot's supposed to be about culture and you know, the different ethnicities of the world and stuff. You have Canada, you have totem poles up top. Why don't they have some kind of a Native American tribal dance or something in there and actually have some real Native American Canadians, you know, perform some kind of show there? I think that would be the most interesting thing that I could see out there. So,
John, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here or ranting, I'm half American Indian. My whole family, you know, if you see my brother, you see the Indian in us. I'm more the Irish side of the family. We're Irish and Indian. And they do nothing for the American Indian in this country, anywhere, any place. I'm watching a TV show the other day, and they're still calling the Indians savages, and it just drives me insane. And then listening to that team from down the pike called Washington, I don't understand how they're still allowed to be called that name. But apparently you could do whatever you want to the American Indian, and there's nothing ever done for the American Indian. So I'll rant and rave for that for the rest of my life, but that's for the Indian podcast.
But, well, then you would agree that a show in there with that would be a fantastic show. I don't understand why that's never even been thought of.
Oh, absolutely. I don't understand why there's really nothing in the parks that do anything about the American Indian.
Yeah, the one little clip
in the American Adventure.
The American Adventure. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And then you also see when you're going around Tom Sawyer's Island with the cabin and all. Remember that was burning with the Indians around there?
Yeah.
You had that years ago. I mean, it's just the point. This country does nothing to support the American Indian, and it drives me nuts. And my grandmother, every time we'd watch an Eagles-Washington game, she'd be yelling because my grandmother's grandmother lived on a reservation. And she used to sit there and yell at us. She didn't like the name coming on the TV. She didn't watch football. She didn't like football. When she'd hear that name, she would yell about it. And this is going back in the 70s, John, that she would yell about that name. She was, it's just not right.
And it still hasn't been changed.
No.
I guess it never will. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I don't want to go off too far on that. But did you see if you wore polka dots at Disney Springs, you get discount this Sunday?
No, I thought I saw something about that, about Minnie Mouse or something like that, but I don't think I read the article. So.
Wearing polka dots gets you discounts at Disney Springs this Sunday. January 22nd, 2017 is National Polka Dot Day, and Disney Springs is celebrating the day in a big way. I've never heard of National Polka Dot Day in my life. Have you?
I'm afraid I haven't.
I mean, hopefully you guys, you're going to get this show a little late. So, I mean, I'm going to release it today, and I doubt anybody will hear it and rush over there. But I got to read it just because it's crazy. I've never heard of National Polka Dot Day. By wearing your favorite polka dot outfit on Sunday, you can get significant discounts on shopping and entertainment. Some of the best details include 50% discount on admission to Disney Quest, complimentary stitching when you purchase a Minnie Mouse dot ear hat at Disney's Wonderful World of Memories from 12 to 5. Go over and get your hat, John.
I'll rush over there.
20% discount at American Threads, Aaron McKenna's Bakery, New York City, Johnny Waz Sperry, 15% discount at Dino Store Trex, Kipling's, Ship Store at the Boathouse, Sugar Boo and Company, and Volcom. 10% discount at Basin, Edward Biner, L'Occitane Province, Paradiso 37, Portobello set at the Bar, Subline Something Silver, United World Soccer, Wolfgang Puck's Grand Cafe. Along with the discounts, there will be special entertainment in the town center from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., and guests in polka dots can receive special commemorative buttons while supplies last. From these locations, the Welcome Center, the Marketplace Co-op, Trendy, World of Disney, Disney's Wonderful World of Memories, Disney Quest, and selected participating retailers. So go, come on, John, put your polka dot on and head over there. Get us a couple buttons.
Polka dots, huh?
Come on, man. I can honestly say I own nothing that has a polka dot on it.
Yeah, I think that would be my wife that would have, she might have one or two, but I don't think I have anything that has polka dots on it, so.
Yeah, I don't think we have a single polka dot in this house. Did you see this, John? Plans filed for expansion at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort.
Ooh, is that the DVC coming?
We don't know. I mean, there's speculation on it. Permits have been filed for a large expansion project at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. I was hoping this would be at Riverside, but the addition of seven new buildings. I mean, this resort is massive as it is.
No kidding. If they're going to build that much, either DVC or just expanding the resort, they're going to have to put in another at least another counter service restaurant, I would hope, and another pool.
Well, we're getting to that, right? We're getting to that, buddy.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding with you. Drink your beer and your hot toddy, your morning drink. The addition of 7 new buildings will include 1 large multi-level building, which will appear to be the home of a large number of guest rooms. Plans show that the new large building will occupy the land that is part of the existing Barbados Village of the resort, which will presumably be demolished for the expansion. Along with the new construction, there is also changes planned for road rays and retention ponds. Work is planned to begin in 2017, this year, with completion in 2019. It isn't clear yet whether Disney Vacation Club Villas will be part of the development, and Disney has not yet made any official announcement of the project. High test balloons were spotted over the resort in September, leading to heightened speculation the new development was imminent. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's DVC, dude. I don't see them building anything anymore where they can't make some money on the back end from it.
That's pretty much the way it's been. And it's curious, though, that they just would rather expand Caribbean Beach rather than just call it a brand new resort. You know what I mean? And just make a whole – I guess maybe they're running out of themes or whatever. But I wonder why they just don't do that, just because it sounds big enough to be its own resort.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, maybe because of the way the entries is and they just don't want to – I think maybe because they did the same thing with Riverside. Maybe it's just easier. Or they called it all Port Orleans. Maybe it'll be Caribbean Beach, and maybe it'll be like how French Quarter and Riverside is. This will be Caribbean Beach with two different areas, if you follow me, is what maybe they'll do with it.
Yeah, maybe they'll call one Barbados. Well, they already call them different names, but what, two of the Caribbean islands or something like that.
You understand what I'm saying? They might shake the whole resort up and rename it. You never know, because that's what they did with Riverside. I mean, I was hoping my dream would be that they would do something at Riverside, like I said, in between the two resorts. They should have like some kind of center to bring the two resorts more together.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, something that would bridge that little bit of a gap there and connect them a little better.
I would love to see them. It would be absolutely awesome in between the two. Couldn't you see like a signature restaurant like Nucosi's, how that is on the water? You know what I'm saying? How cool would that be to have a beautiful restaurant right there on the river at Riverside, and a new restaurant and outside where you can go outside? Like, I love Muddy Rivers, but I don't know why they didn't put any kind of a bar area that's down towards the river.
That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? You get back from the parks at night or even after a day at Disney Springs, and you stop there and you sit out on the Sascoula River and have a beer before you go to – oh, that would be absolutely fantastic. Or even a spot and open it in the morning. So when you got up in the morning to go get your ladies their breakfast, you could stop there and get a coffee and sit out on the water and watch the fog lift – the mist lift off of the – oh, man, that sounds great.
Absolutely. And I mean, as much as I love that resort, that's one of the things I never understood, why they use the water, but I don't think they use the water to its full capability. Because even over at French Quarter, the docks are just subdued there. The French Quarter dock is like, it's like a dock that I have down the street, if you follow me, for my local lake. There's nothing special about the boat docks there. Like, I think it would be really cool, French Quarter, if they did the same thing. I mean, I know you have Mardi Gras, and that's an awesome little bar and everything, but I would love to see something for the two resorts, something awesome in between the two of them. Because those resorts are beautiful as it is. Could you imagine you come over for a wonderful dinner? Because I know Boat Rights is good, but Boat Rights is – it's nice. It is what it is, but it isn't like jaw-dropping to sit in there. I mean, it's more – you're more blocked off in a room. It's a more dark restaurant, if you ask me, as far as – there's no windows or anything except for when you walk in. You're in a square room.
Yeah, you're kind of back in the actual building, so yeah, there's not a lot of and you're close to the river too there, but yeah, they don't have much of a view. So.
No, and so I would like to see something like between the two that would draw people. Could you imagine going to this beautiful restaurant for dinner, having a good time, and then after dinner you head over and see Yeehaw Bob?
There you go. That sounds like a fun day, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we left Caribbean Beach as usual, went over to Riverside. But this same thing would be awesome here because we ate at their restaurant before, which we really liked. We and Brenda stayed at Caribbean Beach. I was the first place. Let me put it this way. Riverside was the first place we ever stayed because we got there a day early. So we stayed at Riverside. What happened was the first year we drove down, we got there a day early, and I've told this story before. And believe it or not, we got there a day early, and at the time, Caribbean Beach was the more popular resort. Because I think – and I don't know why. This is back in 97. We got there a day early, and there was not a single room available in the entire Caribbean Beach resort. I mean, can you believe that?
That'd be an odd thing. Yeah, because definitely Riverside is much more popular now. So.
Yeah, so what ended up happening is because we got there early, we were going to go stay outside, but me and Brenda said, you know, we're here, let's get a room, let's find somewhere. So we said we didn't care, we'd like to stay in this range. So what they did is they sent us over to Riverside for the day. And do you know the room that we got? To this day is one of the nicest rooms we ever had. You've been to Riverside before. You know where you look straight across from the main house? There's the beautiful mansions right across the water there.
Oh, yeah.
Where the gazebo is. We had a second floor overlooking the entire river resort. We couldn't ask for a better room if we begged for it. It was like the signature room they gave us. And we stayed there the first night. We didn't want to leave. We didn't want to go back to Caribbean Beach because we just fell in love with it. And then we went back to Caribbean, and it was beautiful. We stayed there for the week. We really enjoyed it. But the first trip we booked for a week was actually at Caribbean Beach, and we enjoyed it. But it wasn't we didn't fall in love with it the same way we fell in love with Riverside for that one night. So as soon as we came home, we booked another trip, and we booked it at Dixie Landing, was what it was called at the time. But we did eat at Shudders at Old Port Royal. Have you ever eaten over there?
No. We had rooms booked here for a vacation, I think, in 2011. And we were going to stay at Caribbean Beach. And right before we left to go on, or probably a couple of weeks before that, I found out that we had been approved for DVC and stuff. And so canceled that and stayed at Saratoga Springs instead. So, no, never stayed there and never have eaten at any of the restaurants there.
We had one of our best because it was one of our first meals. We were still young and, you know, back in, what was it, 25, 26. Matt, wouldn't you like to go back there, John? Knowing what you know now. That's what my parents always used to say, and, man, was it true.
And, boy, did you roll your eyes when you heard him say that. Now you say the same thing. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. It's like, what an idiot we were not to listen. So all kids, listen to this show. No matter how nutty your parents sound, listen to them. If you just listen to them, you'd be so far ahead of the game instead of being bullheaded, because that's what we were, weren't we, John?
Absolutely.
But we stayed there, and we went to, over to the main restaurant. We went to, Shudders at Old Port Royal, and it was our first sit-down meal on Disney property. And our waiter, he was phenomenal. He treated us great. He ended up dropping. He dropped glasses as he was walking out, and he was cracking up because he felt bad because we made all this noise. And he said, now you must think I'm a knucklehead and all this. We're like, no, you've been great and fine. So then he brings me and my wife these off the dessert tray. He bought us each dessert. He brought us over these homemade cookies that were there. And we really thought it was nice. He felt bad for dropping glasses. It had nothing to do with us. But because he was our waiter, he ended up bringing us these cookies, and the meal was phenomenal. I can still see it now, and I like Old Port Royal. Have you ever been in that food court at all? To pop in there?
I've walked through there a couple of times. Actually, I think the last time I was there was delivering. So I've been to a lot of these places in the through the back and stuff. But yeah, I've walked through and looked at it. I think that was about the extent of it. I didn't try anything.
Yeah, I have always liked when we stayed. I actually liked how that food court was set up, the way it has the different stands. I just liked the way it looked, the way it was spread out a little bit more. Like, because you know how Riverside, I do like their food court, but I don't like where you get the food. I feel like you're the one negative I have about Riverside is I love the food at the food court. I love the offerings that they have. But when it's crowded, the way they have it closed off for you to grab your food, I think it's way too – they need to give more room there somehow. I think it's way – I get claustrophobic in there.
Yeah, it can get very crowded in that little area. So.
Yeah, because when it's really busy time, you feel like you're – everywhere you're standing – I hate being anywhere where everywhere you're standing, you feel like you're in the way. Do you know what I'm getting at with that? Like, you're trying to figure out what you want to eat. So you're roaming back and forth between the different windows, looking at the menus, and you feel like you're in the way the whole time. And I hate that. I think they need to give a little bit more room to that area. Somehow design it where the cash registers come back a little bit further. They should have screens somewhere. Do you know where they toast the – I don't know if you've stayed at Riverside before. You've been there, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. You know where you have the toasters and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Over by the restrooms, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So. What they should have is they should have some kind of menus outside of there so you can actually read them before you head in. Have menus on his flat screen somewhere set up to where you can go and not be in the beaten path of everybody to figure out what you want to order.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think there's too much meandering going on in that food court. But to go back to Caribbean Beach, as I baffle about that, I am looking forward to it because the sounds – I've read a couple different articles that they're talking about building. There's going to be a whole new restaurant area, a whole new food court area, which I think that would be very nice too, because that resort is so big. If you're not staying up by Old Port Royal, you're hiking to get to that food court area into the main pool.
Yeah, that's the one drawback I've heard about it is that it's huge. So I guess if they're going to expand it, they better build more facilities. So.
Yeah, at one point that was the biggest resort in the United States, had the most rooms in any resort in the entire country at one time. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah, it was considered the biggest resort in the world. I mean, in our country, not in the world, in the United States at one time, and had more rooms than any other hotel or motel. And we enjoyed it there. The only reason we didn't go – I would go back. Like tomorrow, if I had a book, I would go back there. But I honestly do like Riverside. It would go Riverside, French Quarter, Coronado, and then Caribbean for me. But if I had to stay at any of them, it's not breaking my heart. I think they're all beautiful resorts.
You'll be okay. You'll be okay if somebody forces you to, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we had a book, I would go back. I mean, me and Brenda have multiple times had the reservation, made it for Caribbean Beach, saying we're not doing Riverside. and then a month will go by, and then all of a sudden, she'll look at me and go, honey, I want to go back to Riverside. Now, if she'd only stick with the plan, we would stay there. But as soon as she says that to me, we're back at Riverside. I can't help it. It's just because we've stayed at French Quarter. And the last trip, I wanted to go back to French Quarter. The last trip me and her went down when we stayed at Riverside. And we were at French. We had French Quarter booked for like 3 weeks. Then all of a sudden, hon, I really think we need to go back to Riverside. It's kind of like your wife's Epcot deal. My wife is the Riverside deal.
I was about to say the same thing. It sounds exactly the type of discussion we have when we get to another park. Okay, we're at the Magic Kingdom and we're there and it's crowded. And she goes, you know, I bet Epcot's not that bad. And I go, well. Or I imagine it's the same thing that happens to Dennis when they have maybe Gico booked, and then maybe him and his wife are talking, you know, the California Grill's available. So it's hard to get away from that. I mean, and it's things that we would like to do and experience other things, but man, it's hard to get away from your favorite things in the entire world. So.
Yeah. My wife, she just feels super comfortable there is what the whole deal is. It's like, she don't want to be anywhere else but there. I mean, we've stayed, at almost all the resorts, you know, and that's her home. And the thing of it is if I didn't like it as much as I did, it would kind of make it easier for me to say no. But I feel the same way when I'm there. I'm just in my happy place so much. So maybe you can get the wife to head over and see the view in March when they come to Animal Kingdom. You going to get her to go over and see that?
I don't think she watches them, so I don't even know what show that is. So it's one of the women's show, I suppose. So I don't think so.
No, and did you see that they announced the 8th annual Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic dates announced?
Already, huh?
Yeah, they're announced this year will be held on October 27th and 28th. So if you guys want to get book ahead of time, head over to that. We got to go to that one of these years, John.
Oh, that's we've I, me and the wife have been meaning to do that for a long time, and it's a good deal. I mean, based on what we spend at the Food and Wine Festival, you know, for a day or 2 days of me entering around trying different items, the Swan and Dolphin one is all you can eat and I think all you can drink for like $80-$90, so it's a much better deal. So at some point, we got to do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and again, I know everybody on the show yells at me for saying when I move down there, but when I finally do move down there, this is going to be something that we without a doubt, though.
Yeah, we always want to do it, but you know what I wish? I wish they would have it at this time of year, or I wish they would have it in March or April even, or some point like that in the spring or something like that, because they put it right during the Food and Wine Festival, and we're always so intent on just going out to Epcot and experiencing that pretty much blows our budget. So.
No, I hear you. I don't know. I mean, I know it blows your budget, but maybe one of these years you don't do food and wine like 17 times. Maybe you just, you know, cut it in half, and I think you'd be out. I mean, what, eight Le Fin de Mons covers this.
Yeah, that's probably true. So, yeah, you're probably right.
So I think you would really enjoy it. I know me and Brentwood because, you know, I mean, there's so many different chefs. And if you look at the setup, I mean, how beautiful it looks between the two resorts on that walkway, the way they have it set up, it's really elegant. And then the difference that they have between Food and Wine, they have seats and tables set up everywhere for you to eat at. I mean, they do have it set up to make it to where you it's comfortable for you.
Well, as long as there's plenty of the tops of trash cans for us to lean on, I guess we'll be okay. So,
yeah,
actual
well,
seats, I might be a little lost, you know.
Yeah, maybe not as big of a crowd.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think the one of the main reasons that we haven't attended this is because it is you pay the price, and then that includes alcohol, and the wife isn't going to drink any of that stuff, so she would have to get her value out of just the food. But I don't know, there's such good choices there that I imagine you could. And it'd also give us a chance, because I don't think we've eaten at any of the Swan and Dolphin restaurants, and it'd give us a chance to try a bit from Blue Zoo and a bit from Shulo's and a bit from Kimono. So something I definitely want to do.
Well, I know you won't be disappointed, because you know, everybody who listens to this show knows I've stayed there multiple times at the Swan and Dolphin, and everything there has been very, very good. I've never been disappointed by anything that we've had there. It's a beautiful resort, and I look into it on every trip because I'm into, and I know you are too, John, we're into getting the best bang for our buck when we go down there. And if I'm going to stay at a value resort for $119, or, you know what I mean, or stay at Riverside for $180 if it's a peak, because you know how it works, because Swan and Dolphin has different value and peak times than what the Disney resorts do, because they're a convention hotel. So I've stayed at the Swan and Dolphin for $120, $130 a night. And for the amenities that you get, the location that you are, I love Riverside, but the times I've stayed there, Riverside was, the exact price was $179 a night. And Swan and Dolphin I got for $121 a night. Now, you do the math on that one.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
You know, and I mean, and the location, and I've yelled and screamed, their boat launch blows the boardwalk and the Yacht and Beach Club away. Have you walked – you've been through that resort, though, haven't you? You've walked over to it, haven't you?
Yeah, we've actually a lot of times when we're at Epcot, that's one of our walks, is walk all the way around Crescent Lake and walk in and out of the resorts just to check them out and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're beautiful resorts.
I mean, and what I like about it, I know I said on the last show, I think it was, the thing that is really good about it, it's bad because you don't get the view of the Crescent Lake itself. But it is beautiful. You still get to see your friendship boats coming in and out. You got the waterways still there. On the other side, you could, like I said, I've seen my one room, the one trip, I had the Tower of Terror every night I could see from my balcony. You know, I'd see the lights. I'd wake up in the morning to the Tower of Terror. I'd go to sleep at night. I'd leave the window open so I could see the Tower of Terror from my room.
Cool.
How cool was that to go to sleep to every night?
Yeah, that's pretty outstanding.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But you're back there, and it's not as noisy as what the boardwalk is, because those boardwalk rooms out on the boardwalk, out on the walkway, they can be very noisy at times. That's one downfall of the boardwalk. If you get those rooms that are right above, around the Flying Fish and all that area, if it's a crowded night, or if the park shut down early and everybody comes back to the boardwalk area, it can get a little noisy out under there.
Yeah, yeah, it get noisy, and then people are usually up real early too. So imagine 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have people up getting coffee and heading around already, so you're going to get noises already at that time. So.
Yeah, you open up your balcony doors and you just want to sit and relax and have your coffee, and you get that family with 6 or 7 kids screaming for a party of 20 going through. Yeah, you can wake you up pretty early in the morning.
Yep.
So what's your plans when you're heading back next down there?
We're probably 2 or 3 weeks, I think, me and the wife are going to head over to I'm going to try to convince her to go to Animal Kingdom for a couple hours in the morning, and then we'll probably head back over to Epcot for the evening to try one or two more items out there. And I want to get some of those silly pictures that they have for the art festival. But at the same time, I don't want to blow a budget going out to the art festival again when the Flower and Garden Festival is right around the corner. So.
Yeah, you got it so tough, man. I don't know what to do for you. I feel bad for you.
You feel bad? Should I start a GoFundMe page so I have more of a budget to go?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I know you're kidding, but you've probably thought about it. Yeah, tell me where you want me to go. I promise I'll go there.
I'll ride the rides. I'll experience the food. I'll do whatever you want me to do, as long as I'm on Disney property. So.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you got to get back down there and start Ubering.
Yeah, that didn't work out real well. So.
No, just start doing something down there. But no, it's been a light news week. I mean, that's about it for right now. I mean, there's been I'm looking forward to things are going to be coming out this year. I'm looking forward to the whole D23 announcement. I can't wait to hear what's going on with to get some more fine tuning on what's going on with the studios with Star Wars and Toy Story Land. And then you might actually in the next few months we might hear if I'm thinking that this Caribbean Beach thing is going to be DVC for moderate DVC.
That would be fantastic, because about the only – I mean, the points – the lowest points you can ever find are at Animal Kingdom Lodge for a room that basically has a parking lot view, and it's usually 10 points, but they go so quickly that I can never get those. So it'd be great to have an option where maybe we could have some rooms for 10, 12, 14 points instead of everything close to 20.
So. That would be nice. I mean, and I wonder if you buying in, it would make it more convenient to buy in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or maybe a little more affordable to just get into it. So, yeah, that'd be great. Oh, Pandora, I looked at yesterday. I walked back by Tiffin's and kind of peeked through the closed gate. And you could see the street was paved already. The street lights were up. Well, whatever we're going to call them, they kind of looked like – they're street lights. They didn't look like street lights, but very artistic, I guess. And it looks ready to go. I mean, I think they're finishing the mountains and stuff, but as far as the pathway to it and stuff, it looks done.
Well, so. I'm super excited about that. I cannot wait to get down to see Pandora. I've been one of the ones that constantly pushes that. I think that's going to be spectacular. And I think that's going to set the paved the way for everything new coming to the parks.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're not a huge Avatar fan or whatever, just to go see the technology and the fact that animatronic that they showed a couple of weeks ago, that thing was amazingly lifelike. So it's and you're going to probably get a little bit of a preview of what we're going to see in Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land, just based on the type of stuff they have there. So.
Yeah, well, I'm no Ross from Friends who loves dinosaurs, and I love dinosaurs a ride. And that's the way I look at it. Ain't like I'm not a paleontologist who's, like, reading everything I can about dinosaurs. I'm not a big dinosaur movie fan, but I love dinosaur, you know, and that's the way I feel about Pandora. And I've said my thing about the Pirates of the Caribbean. I love Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride, but the movies get on my nerves because I'm not a Johnny Depp fan.
Oh, how about Splash Mountain? Have you ever actually even seen Splash Mountain? I mean, Song of the South? So
many moons ago, but that's my favorite ride, and I'm not into scary movies, and but I love the Haunted Mansion, so I'm sure I'll love. And I like the Avatar movie. It was pretty good. You know, I enjoyed it. You know, it was a modern day Pocahontas, in my opinion, a lot of it, if you follow me.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but I do love the whole, I cannot wait for the technology. I think the river ride and the Banshee ride is going to, like, blow everybody away. I think it's going to set the stage for what the future is of Disney rides.
The one of the most interesting aspects of this to me is the fact that they picked a Avatar, which did not have a whole lot of merchandise out with it when the movie came out. So, but you know, Disney being Disney, they have to be able to sell stuff. So I imagine either on the boat ride or on the Banshee ride, there's going to be some kind of cute creature or some kind of thing that people are using that is going to be the, you know, you have to get for your child type of souvenir, because you know, Disney's not opening in that area without some kind of marketing going with it. So there's something they're putting in that ride that's going to be the thing that everybody has to have. So.
Well, you know, almost for sure that the drop-off point's going to have a big store on it on the river ride. That's what I'm thinking. Where you get off, you're going to be dropped off in a store kind of like Pirates, or you know what I'm saying? You're going to come out through some way.
Absolutely.
To grab merchandise. There's not a doubt in my mind. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for it. I mean, I know you'll probably be there before me. Well, maybe not with your wife. She might not let you go.
We'll have the intentions of being there before you. Will we actually do it? I don't know.
Yeah, so. You might have to sneak over again.
Yeah, you get away with it, right?
Yeah, well, you need to tell her the only reason you ended up there yesterday is because she won't let you go.
Yeah, if she would have been with us, and she would have went, but Epcot's right around the corner.
Uh-huh. So. She'd have forced you into it.
Did I mention to you guys last week, we were in Norway, I was talking to one of the cast members there and about the new Frozen ride, and she had told me that when Maelstrom was still around, the cast members from Norway, you know, the kids that were going back, their last week working on the exchange program, they would take one of their shoes, and there was a spot somewhere on Maelstrom, and they would toss their shoe for some bizarre reason in this particular spot on Maelstrom. And so when they redid Maelstrom into the Frozen ride, they found over 600 individual shoes back there. And so now somewhere on the Frozen ride is a little homage to that. There's a flying shoe somewhere on the Frozen ride. So now I have to specifically ride Frozen again so I can find that dang flying shoe. So
no, that's pretty darn interesting. That's why one area smelled like feet.
There you go.
Thought it had
I'm
a little kick to
where it.
It
was though. Maybe at the polar bear or somewhere in there. Yeah, or that's the trolls or something.
Yeah, because I think that's where the highest water was.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. It is curious though, and she wouldn't tell me where it was either. So,
no, but that, yeah, because she didn't want you taking your shoe off and throwing in. But that is crazy. I mean, I would like to. Now I'm interested too. You got to let us know. The only problem is it's a 75-minute wait every time.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'll have to try to make a fast pass for our vacation, because that's the only way. I can't get a local fast pass. I can, you know, my fast pass windows that we're on our day trips only opens 30 days before, and I never have luck of getting a Frozen one at that point. So I have to wait for our 60-day window for our vacation, and I'll.
And that's where everybody, like, and I know, and I'm not going to pick on Dan, and I know he loves Frozen, and Bob does too. They wish it wasn't there. But if that doesn't show you that Epcot needs more rides for kids, because that ride should not be 75-minute wait. It's not that good from everything I've seen.
No.
I mean, is it worth 75 minutes to you?
No, it's like a Little Mermaid. You know, it's a cross between it's a Small World because it's a boat ride and the Little Mermaid ride over at the Magic Kingdom. You know, I mean, it's a cute dark ride off of princess movies, basically. No, you know, so.
And I honestly, I want to do it. Like we look like three knuckleheads, three weirdos. Me and my brother-in-law, and my godson. We went over to get in that line, and we seen 75 minutes. I just couldn't see the three of us having enough conversation about that ride to wait 75 minutes. Yeah, you know, it just seemed wrong. But I want to go on it. I mean, I want to go on it for the show, too. I want to see it because, so we can talk about it even more. But they need more things. If that 75-minute wait, it shows you there's not a lot to do for kids around World Showcase.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, and for years they shoehorned that the KidCot stop stuff in, and I'm sure that's cute and fun for a kid to do, but that's not something that you're, if you go out to Epcot two or three times on your vacation, you're not going to get your 8-year-old kid to do that every time you're out at Epcot. So,
no.
Yeah, there needs to be a little more for them to take care, to stay busy out there.
No, and we preach about this all the time, but I think it would be a more even atmosphere, kind of like now how, and I've said it a million times, how Fantasyland is now. Fantasyland is an area that I'm looking forward to every trip going through. I love the new Fantasyland, and before, me and my wife used to avoid it like it had the chicken pox over there because, you know, it was just, you know, too many kids. It was like a concrete jungle. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't fun to go through that area. You know,
oh yeah, before the new expansion, Fantasyland was probably one of the least themed areas of any of the parks, I would say. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I mean, it's kind of like the area where, I mean, it brought everything together because now the least attractive area to me now is where PhilharMagic is, Peter Pan, you know, It's a Small World. That whole area is the least themed to me now of all the park.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I try to avoid that. Like, I go on It's a Small World because, you know, it's tradition. We like to ride. We don't do that every trip, but my wife likes to do it. And, you know, but we try to get through that area. And you know how Peter Pan is. It's ridiculous that wait. And I think Frozen's the same way. I think it's a good ride, but it's not – you're not – and you probably feel guilty the next trip. You're going to do it, and I'm probably going to do it, but you feel guilty burning the Fast Pass for that when you could be doing Soarin' or Test Track.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love the new Soarin', and Test Track's always fun. So, and it's, I mean, that should be, I mean, what the ride is and stuff, it should be a 20-25 minute wait. And because it's the Epcot's lacking on kid friendly attractions, it's 75 minutes. So.
No, and how's the tiers still haven't changed on that? I haven't been on lately because every once in a while they'll change different tiers. But I know we were down there, Test Track, Soarin', and Frozen was all the same tier.
Yeah, they're all the same, and I think Illuminations is there with that too. If you, for some reason, you decide you want a Fast Pass for Illuminations, but
yeah, that ain't happening anytime soon.
I mean that's like I said, we were there last week on a very crowded day and walked right up to the railing and watched it. So. Can't imagine wanting a Fast Pass for it. So.
Nah, like when my dad was in the wheelchair or my mother-in-law or whatever, like if we take her down next year and yeah, maybe if I've seen everything that week and it would just be easier to sit with her, yeah, you might do something like that. Or if you have little small ones, but
I was going to say, if she's in the wheelchair, Doug, you don't even have to worry about it. There's plenty of wheelchair parking all around World Showcase with great spots. So.
Absolutely. I mean, but the thing of it is you know how that works, don't you, sometimes? They don't, if it's really crowded, like when my father was there in the chair, we got him a spot, but we had to go stand in the back. They let him and my mother-in-law, my stepmother, sit up there, and they let my mother-in-law, they squeezed her in too. But me and my wife had to go to the back of the crowd.
Huh. Yeah, they've never done that to me. I mean, I've been out there a couple of crowded
times.
But
it's just you. But if you came with a crowd of like 8 or 10 group, and there's not, yeah, they oh, might yeah. not, you understand what I'm saying? There's,
yeah,
when the
yeah,
areas so. Get filled up, they don't make the rest of the family stand outside the ropes.
Yeah, you're probably right. So
with something like that, I'm just saying, if you got a big family and maybe you all want to see it on the last night or something like that, and you got some elderly with you and you want to make sure everybody's comfortable, that might be the way to go, to do a Fast Pass for that. But with just me and Brendan, no, I would never do it.
No, I can't see that, and especially with the other options, you know, so.
No, but dude, you gotta get her out and let you go to Animal Kingdom one of these days.
So you got away with it yesterday, so
yeah, well you're a lucky dog. Well, you got anything else, John, you wanna say? How's the weekly pint going? You guys got a show coming up soon?
We just had one coming out this last week, and it was my bourbon episode. So my first, you know, first and probably last sipping of the bourbon. So I've decided I don't want to try to be something I'm not. I'm not a liquor guy. I'm beer guy. So I think
that's
I'll just stay
too,
with my
buddy.
Beer.
So. You know, I'm a beer and barely ever a shot. Yeah, you know, it's just not me. The only time I drink any kind of whiskey or whatever, every once in a while we'll make mojitos or something like that, me and Brynn, or I'll make her a fufu drink because I used to be a bartender many moons ago. But to me, it's always been just beer. Back in the day, you do a shot of buka. You want a buka? But that's about it. But, you know, I'm not into all that either. Scotch, my buddy John, I did a job for him to help him out. And Friday night, I went by his house. That's where I had the Samuel Adams. And I thought of you because, do you like Samuel Adams? Yeah, John, I do. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Okay, then. My argument's shot then. I mean, you don't like Samuel Adams. I don't know where I'm going from here, so continue. But anyway.
Man, that sounds like a troll.
Well, when you get yelling, you can sometimes. But okay, anyway. But anyway, when I was at his house, he wanted me to. He goes, "You like bourbon? You want a shot? You want a scotch or a bourbon?" I'm like, "No, I don't." And I'm like, "He's like peer pressure. I don't know. Don't peer pressure me. I'll have a beer with you, man." Because he wanted me to stay and have a drink with him because I did a job for him, and he was thanking me for doing it because he hurt his knee and I helped him out. And anyway, he's pressured me, "Bourbon? You sure you don't want to know?" So I end up having a Samuel Adams. That's when I thought of you. But I just can't get into that. I've tried the scotch and the bourbon deal. It's like, it's just not me. It's just not me.
I don't know. It's too rough. I mean, and it seems like too much work to to enjoy it. That you just want to get done with, not really enjoy.
Yeah, so. And you don't feel like, am I drinking it too fast? Am I drinking it too slow? How should I feel like there's too many rules. Just give me a bottle of beer and I'll move on. Just like with the wine, you gotta taste it. Taste the hops. I mean, not the hops. Taste the cherries or the grapes and taste this. No, I just give me a beer, man. Beer and a cheesesteak, and I'm a happy guy. You know. Every once in a while, I'm allowed to have that. But I don't know. I'm not. We go down to a couple wineries and stuff like that. Like Brenda, I'll take her. We go to this area called Smithville, and they have a winery here. And the only wine I've ever really liked was they have a couple different Thanksgiving wines. They had a cranberry and stuff like that that I actually enjoyed taste testing them. I brought them home and then I got tired of it. I had a couple glasses and I was over it.
So. Yeah, one of my part-time jobs that I do is with a wine company, and he delivers fine, expensive Italian wine. And I mean, he gives me bottles all the time, and I end up passing them out to friends and buddies and relatives and stuff like that. It's just, I mean, and it's good quality stuff. It's just not my taste, you know. So.
Now, so just so you guys know, this bar is, but the Main Street pub is mostly full of beer. You know, every once in a while I get sick, I'll have a bottle, I'll have a couple shots of brandy. That's how I was brought up, blackberry brandy. Do you like that?
Oof, I don't think I've ever even tried it. So.
When you get, next time you're sick, if you got a scratchy throat or you can't sleep, grab yourself a bottle of Jacqueline's blackberry brandy, and they have cherry brandy too. Take a couple shots of that; it'll heat your chest up, make you feel pretty good.
All right. I was gonna say the Main Street pub's probably full of tap handles for the beer and maybe a frozen margarita machine.
Oh, absolutely. We like our margaritas. I will say that. So I enjoy margarita, mojitos every once in a while we'll make, but yeah, I don't mind the brandy once in a while when it's ice cold out. Because my brother and my uncles used to do that too. And we'd go hunting and they'd keep a little snort of brandy in their flask. I'd be like, oh, this is something wrong here. I'm not sitting
dungeon
next
alcohol.
To you.
Yeah,
it's not good for you. But no, I'm just, it would warm you up. So that's one thing I will say. I don't mind a snoot of that one. Maybe once or twice a year if I get a cold. To get me through the Main Street pub a couple of the night shows, I did one shot to clear out the pipes when I was sick. And it warms you up pretty good. So try that one of these days. I think you would like that, John.
All right. Maybe I will.
Yeah, brandy's a little lighter than what your scotches or your bourbons and all that is. Brandy's more of it's a lighter version. You never even tried a brandy?
I cook with it. I made a couple of different items with cooking brandy, but yeah, that's about the extent of it. No, I don't think I've ever actually drank any.
Yeah, so. It's not too expensive either. You get a small bottle, less than $10. So it ain't like you're spending his fortune. It's not like scotch or what you call bourbon either. So, okay. But anyway, head over to your show, John, the Weekly Pint, and listen to John complain about his bourbon. do you rant about it?
No, I mean, it was okay. It's just not worth my time. You know, I mean, I figure that I have a certain amount of alcoholic drinks I could have in a day, and why am I going to, you know, drink that when I could have a beer instead? So,
Me and you, I don't see us sitting at the bourbon and scotch bar drinking, smoking a cigar anytime soon. How about your partner? Did he like it?
Yeah. He's a scotch guy, or not a scotch guy, but a bourbon guy. I mean, he knew all the ins and outs of it, where it's made, and what distillery it came from, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, all right. Yeah, you say so, buddy.
So he's real trouble then.
Yeah. He likes to drink, so.
Yeah, he must if he's drinking that. But everybody head over to the Weekly Pint. Check out John's bourbon excursion, we'll call it.
There you go.
And please, guys, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate that if you could. Check out John at Beer Solo. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow Bob. Head over to our website. Bob is doing he's done more reviews and stories over there. So you guys can go check out Bob. He did a couple more things on the festival. The latest art festival, the food and art festival, as he likes to call it. And head over to It's All in WDW and check out our website. Check our buddy Bob out. His articles are awesome. You can follow me at Grumpy6767, and you can find us all at WDW Main Street on Facebook and on Twitter. Everybody, please have a safe trip. Be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Traveler, Canada. You're a lifeline of wonder on this planet Earth. Canada, you are far too vast and beautiful for words to ever really tell. Canada, 10,000 dawns and sunsets I could see and still not know you well. J'ai suivi la trace de tes oiseaux de neige dans les forêts. J'atteins peu à peu ton cœur et je vois plaisir comme si, comme l'enfant. Canada, mon Canada, aboutissement d'un rêve pour voyageurs. Canada, Canada, mon Canada, sur ta ligne de vie se tracent les miracles de la terre. Canada, comme une odyssée à travers les temps, tu es la fleur et la semence. Canada, tes montagnes, tes villes et tes mers sont tout ce que j'aime. People from around the world have settled in your land. For their heritage in Canada they stand side by side.